2 Timothy chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read two verses of Scripture, verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4. The Bible says, Paul's writing to Timothy, of course, and he's instructing him. He's a young minister of the gospel. And when we think about young, most people believe he's in his 30s. And so that's pretty young, isn't it? In his 30s, but we see as Paul writes to him, he's encouraging him and helping him. And he says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 3, "a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I want to preach on that thought tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house one more time. And I pray that you'll meet with us tonight in a special way. I pray, Lord, for the filling power of the Holy Spirit of God to rest upon me. Lord, I pray as I preach that the Spirit of God would do the work in this congregation. And Lord, that we would hear from you. Lord, I know that you're able. I know, Lord, what you can do, and I pray that you'll help us to be ready to receive your word, and then, Lord, to respond to it, then, Lord, to act upon it. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's no doubt, as believers tonight, that we realize that we're in a war, and the battle is raging all around us. In our text verse, here in verse number 3, the Bible says, as Paul's instructing Timothy, that he is to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And when someone joins any branch of the military, they have to go through what's called boot camp. Isn't that right, Dustin? Boot camp. How many of y'all have been through boot camp before? Fun time, right? Great, wonderful time, the highlight of your life. Something that you'll just relish all of your days and wish you could go through it every week, right? Oh, absolutely, you know? And somebody spitting in your face, calling you names, and, you know, telling you that your mama's not your mama anymore, that he's your mama. Your mama's got a mustache or something. You know, something's not right here. But they go through something called boot camp, and it's a training time that teaches a soldier how to endure hardness. The long hikes and the runs, the inclement weather and the tasteless food that they go through and the difficult terrain and the enemy fire that's portrayed to them and so many more things than that we could talk about. It's all in preparation for them to be a good soldier. They have to know these things. They have to go through these things. They realize they may have to face so many of these things. And the Bible says, as Paul's writing to Timothy, that he is to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When I think about somebody enduring, I can't help but remember Job and all that was going on in his life. And you remember how people kept coming and giving him a report and saying, "All your cattle's gone, all your sheep are gone, all your children are gone." But he had learned to endure some things. Job's response was, when he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He learned how to endure hardness. He learned how to deal with difficulties. And that was trusting in the Lord and putting his faith in him and realizing that God was in control and God was on the throne. And a good soldier realizes that their life is on the line and they must be willing to lay it down for the cause. If you look up the word soldier, you're going to find it means a member of an army. It also means one who works for a specified cause. And Paul says here to Timothy to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And tonight I say unto you that we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And as a soldier of Christ, we're an enemy of the devil. And there's a fight to fight. But let's fight the good fight. And let's war a good warfare. And if we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there are things that must be a part of our lives. First of all, We must be enlisted. We must be enlisted. Did you know that you're not going to go fight with the Army or the Navy or the Air Force Marines unless you're enlisted? Isn't that right? Well, you have to be enlisted. And when one trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they automatically are enlisted in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very moment you trusted Him, you become a soldier. So every saved person is enlisted. Tonight, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can't be a part of the Lord's army. You can't be a good soldier of Jesus Christ until you recognize that you're lost. Now understand that you're a sinner. You're not a bad person because you're a sinner. You were born a sinner. You know, you were brought into this world. Nobody had to teach you how to lie. You automatically learned it. You learned how to say no to your parents very young and very early. Of course, a lot of that's because you kept hearing your parents tell you no. You thought, well, that's the only proper response. No, you know? They tell them, no. You got to, no, I'm not going to do this. No, you know? But you learn how to do this. And you learn, and when mommy and daddy says, did you do that? No. You know? Did you pour out the chocolate syrup with chocolate all over your hands? No, I didn't do it. You know, you're born into sin. You're born a sinner. And every one of us here tonight that has enlisted the army of the Lord has had to understand that we're sinners. And we come to the point where we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And when He died on the cross for our sins, He gave a call to all of us and said, whoever wants to be a part of the family of God can be. He doesn't force you. He doesn't make you. We're not here tonight to force anybody to be a Christian. We're not going to twist anybody's arm ever to make them to be a Christian. But we are going to offer them the truth and say, listen, the Bible says we're sinners, but Jesus died for your sins. And because Jesus died for your sin, if you're willing, if you're truly sorry that for the sins you've done or the things that you've done, if you're really sorry for that and you want to ask the Lord to forgive you, He'll forgive you and ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior. He'll save you from your sins. Jesus died for your sins. You don't have to do anything but put your faith and trust in what Jesus did. And you can be a part of the family of God. And when you do that, you're enlisted and you become a soldier in the army of the Lord. We're to be good soldiers. We have to be enlisted. Tonight we must be enlisted. Our Lord has a job. He has a work for us to do. And our main goal, our main desire should be to please Him. We ought to do that. The Bible says in verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our goal, our aim tonight ought to be to please the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be enlisted. Secondly, we must be prepared. Isn't that the motto of the services? That's the sounding call of every branch of military, to be prepared. It's you're taught even as a Boy Scout to be prepared. It's the same for a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be prepared, there's some things that must be recognized in our lives. First of all, there must be faith in our life. If you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to be prepared to be a good soldier, you've got to have faith. The Bible teaches us that faith is our shield. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I've got news for you. When you enlist, when you get saved, and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, everything doesn't go just peachy. Everything doesn't fall just in line. There's still life to be lived. There's still sin all around. There's still battles to be fought. There's still enemies all around us. I'm telling you, it's real. And we have got to learn that truly our enemy is the devil. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. And tonight, we need to have the shield of faith so that we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You think he's going to quit throwing darts at you now that you're saved? I have news for you. He didn't throw any at you before you were saved. But now that you are, He's going to be hurling them right and left. Every temptation, every trial, everything that you can possibly imagine is going to come at you, and he's going to keep throwing them. And you say, how in the world do I live in this world? How in all of my life am I going to do the right thing and continue on in this world and be prepared? Well, you have to take the shield of faith. You have to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but for your life. It says that you'll be able to quench the fiery darts. They say back in those days they would take a shield and they would put some kind of an animal skin on them, and they would take and they would dip in water, and the enemy would come and they would sling fiery darts or fiery arrows at you. And that's how they would try to defeat you. They would try to set you on fire, set whatever is around you on fire, and you would be able to take that, and when that arrow might hit your shield, the water would put it out. We've got to have that, and that's what it's talking about. That's the shield of faith. We have to be prepared. We have to put our faith in the Lord and realize He's able. Number two, we have to have our cross. We must have the cross. The cross must be recognized in our life. While faith is our shield, the cross is our strength. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The cross is our strength. Tonight, when you get weak, you know what you need to do? You need to remember Calvary and realize what took place there. You know what took place at Calvary? Well, at Calvary, you were made alive. The Bible says, and you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2:1. That word quickened means been made alive. And you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. Once you were dead, but now you're alive because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Tonight you can live, but you must realize your victory is that your strength tonight is the cross. You must understand that our strength comes from knowing all that Jesus did for us. Not only are you made alive at the cross, the second thing, you're set free from sin. Sin had a hold on you, dear friend. Sin had a grasp on your life. It was not going to let you go. But when you knelt at the cross and put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And the Bible says, "And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Do you understand what the Bible is saying here? We have been set free from sin because Jesus died on the cross. We have been made alive because Jesus died on the cross. The song says it well. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Amen. By His wonderful grace. Not only is at the cross are you made alive, and at the cross you're set free from sin, but at the cross you're made rich. Oh, yes. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8 and verse number 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." I want you to look up here tonight, and I want you to see me. And when you look at me, I'm going to tell you something that might shock you. I'm one of the wealthiest people in all the world. But I'm not wealthy according to the standard of the world. I'm wealthy according to Christ. I'm rich in peace. I'm rich with mercy and grace. I'm rich tonight with Him supplying and Him taking care of me. I'm rich with assurance. I'm rich with, you know, we'll go home tonight and it may be just a can of soup, but God provides every day, every meal for us. I'm rich tonight with His presence. I'm rich tonight because of His promises are real. And so tonight, I can get my strength from the cross of Christ when I realize that regardless of what happens, He's already been there. He's already faced it. He had promised that whatever I go through, He's going to go with me. And He said, as long as I live for Him and do His will for my life, He'll provide every need. Right. Even as a believer, if I get out of His will, He's going to hold back from me till I get back. It's called His love. Chastisement is love. It's not hatred. It was Christ that died on the cross for our sins. It was Christ who makes us alive. It's Christ who sets us free. It's Christ who makes us rich. And when we look at the cross and see His willingness, it should make us willing. It should strengthen us to keep going on for Him. The cross, it's our strength. May the Lord help us. We must understand these things and realize what the Lord is teaching us here and helping us to realize that the cross is our strength tonight. Not only do we need faith and cross, we need the Word of God. If we're going to be prepared, we need the Word of God. It's our weapon. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Not only does God's Word guide us, it also is the only offensive weapon, offensive character that's given to us in the Christian armor. Do you realize everything when it says, take all these things, and it tells us take the sword of the Spirit. Everything else, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All defensive, all defensive, all defensive. But the Word of God is offensive. You want to know why? Because it's the Word of God that's used to break down the barriers. It's the Word of God that's used to speak to people's hearts. It's the Word of God that's used to go in and to touch people's lives. It's the Word of God that we're to take and go on the offensive. We're not going out to offend, but we're going out to take the Word of God to try to reach people's lives. The Bible says that the people's minds have been blinded by this world, by the devil. People that are in darkness. And it says the only hope is the light of the glorious gospel shining through. And so we're to be on the offense with the Word of God. We're to use it to prove what thus saith the Lord. In other words, when it comes to matters in your life, when it comes to certain things, you can tell people what the Bible says. I wish our government would get back to reading the Bible again. I wish our doctors would get back to reading the Bible again, and lawyers would get back to reading the Bible again. We need the Word of God. The Word of God that made our nation great is now being trampled upon. And we can see. We're becoming more defensive than we are offensive as a nation. We were once known as the mightiest nation in all the world. I believe now we're ridiculed and laughed at. It's a sad thing that we're seeing. But the reason we were a great nation was not because we were so great, but because God was great in us. There's things that we're seeing happen before our very eyes. I believe that the signs of the times are so real. Jesus is coming. The power of the Word of God can defeat every foe. The power of the Word of God can overcome every obstacle. The Word of God increases our faith to help us to be able to go forward, to be able to go on the offensive. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are we a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are we a good soldier? Are you enlisted in the army of God? Are we prepared tonight? Do we have faith? Is the cross our strength? Is the Word of God our weapon? That's what being prepared is all about. Understanding these things. We need the blood. It's our victory. It's our victory. The blood of Christ is our victory. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and I want you to look here with me, or excuse me, chapter number 9, and verse number 11. It's great verses of Scripture. The Bible says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living and the true God." Our victory tonight is the blood of Christ. That's why Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We must be enlisted. May the Lord help us. We must be enlisted. And not only must we be enlisted, we must be prepared. And then we must be faithful. We must be faithful. This is a great need. To the church at Smyrna, the Lord Jesus was saying these things, and John penned these things down as he was there on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 2 verse number 10. When all these things were going on, the church at Smyrna was a period of great persecution. Christ said to them, "For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, fear none of those things for which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The Lord Jesus said over and over again, "You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you master over many." He said, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, he said, "Moreover, it is found in a good steward that a man be found faithful." And if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, one of the things that must be a part of our lives is we must be faithful. Faithful day after day after day. Faithful to Him, and faithful to the cause, and faithful to the person of Jesus Christ. I believe a lot of Christians tonight could be tried for treason and lose because they've forsaken the truth and forsaken the Lord. Must be faithful. Fourthly, tonight, must be enlisted, must be prepared, must be faithful. We must recognize the enemy. A good soldier has to learn to recognize the enemy. Their enemies sometimes come in many disguises. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There's a real enemy, and we need to recognize the enemy. So many times we're fighting fights, but they're not fights worth fighting. We need to fight the good fight. We need to recognize the enemy. Satan wants to destroy us. Spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of darkness in the world. Sometimes we're fighting against Satan himself, and we're fighting against workers and rulers. The rulers of darkness are those ideals that takes God out of society. We need to realize there is an enemy to be fought here. And sometimes, you know, I don't care if it's a politician or a world leader or even a religious leader. Sometimes the truth has to be given. No, all the time the truth has to be given. You know, they talk about all this stuff, separation of church and state. Man, you can't get up and say anything about anybody regardless of what party they're in or what party they are. But the problem is churches have become so silent on it, you know, afraid of losing a tax exemption or losing something, that we forget that if there's ideals that takes God away, then we're to fight that fight. We've got to find a way to do it. If we can't do it from here, we've got to find a way to do it. And it's a real problem. The day that America turns their back on Israel is going to be a terrible day. I believe according to the Word of God. I know what the Bible says about Israel. And I know how certain people feel about it. But what we've seen, President Bush said some things that I totally disagreed with concerning Israel. Now, I don't believe in a two-state. I believe it's Israel's land. I believe it's theirs. Now, I believe that. But then what our president said today was probably one of the worst statements when you just listen to the context of his speech. And it burdened my heart. You know, we have to realize these things. What's happening, though? What is happening? Is it because somebody's just so wicked? No, I'll tell you what it is because. It's because we're getting close to the end times and the end days. There is something being set up for a one world government. It's happening all around us. They're wanting to globalize everything. They're wanting to do this. Now, if that's what God wants and that's the way it's going to be, you know, then that's the way it's going to be. But we still have to let our voice be known about what we believe the Bible has to say on certain things. It may not change any of that, but we have to realize that there is an enemy out there sometimes that we don't even recognize is an enemy. And it's not a party. It's not particularly a person. It's the rulers of darkness of this world. It's spiritual wickedness many times in high places that can get things done. And we need to talk to God and ask God to help us so that we can be a good soldier and fight the good fight. There's some fights not worth fighting. There's some things not worth doing. But dear friends, if we're going to be a good soldier, we must recognize the enemy. And I think that's what's happening in a lot of places. You know, they're not recognizing the enemy. Then we must have unity. This is one of the things that it's difficult, is unity. But the Bible says if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. The Bible says, behold, how good and pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So we have to understand, there must be unity among the brethren. That's one of the problems that a lot of things aren't getting done in the world today. It's because we're too busy bickering, fighting, and feuding amongst ourselves. I'm not talking just denominational lines. I'm talking within the denominations. It's a sad day, isn't it? Look, anybody that knows me knows what I am and who I am and what I believe and all that. As long as others are willing to believe the Bible's the Word of God and get on with these things, you know, we have to fight certain fights. But I'm not going to yoke up with people that's bringing in ungodliness and worldliness. And, you know, but there has to be unity. We need to get back to letting the Word of God be the deciding factor on things. And that's where the unity has to come. That God unites us. The Word of God unites us. Not because somebody says they're a Baptist or a Presbyterian, but the Word of God unites us. To be honest with you, I know a lot of people now that are independent Baptists that I don't really want to have anything to do with as far as what they stand on and their belief in the Bible. And then finally tonight, finally, we must trust the leader. Must trust the leader. Now, in communist countries, they are made to trust their certain leader, but we must realize our leader tonight is not any president. Our president is our president, and that's his place, it's his office, it's his authority. But our leader as Christians tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must trust him. He'll lead us into battle, and dear friends, he'll guide us the right way. He'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. The leader of our army is Jesus Christ, and he is the captain of our salvation. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, and verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and that by the grace of God, he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. We must trust the leader. I understand tonight, there's a lot of things going on in our world. But it's not a party we need to look to, it's a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. If God's ever going to change our country, if God's going to change our world, if anything's ever going to change our country or world, it's going to have to be the Lord. And He uses people to get that done. And you know who He's using? His soldiers. And we have to trust Him. Now, I may not understand everything that's going on in the world, but I found out that I'm just going to have to trust the Lord through it all. And put my faith in Him and know that He's going to take care of me. And if I'll do what's right, everything else is going to be all right for me. If you'll do what's right, God will take care of you. It doesn't mean that we'll have plenty in the bank. It doesn't mean that we won't lose things. It doesn't mean we won't go through things. But God said He would take care of us. He promised us He would take care of us. And I found out that sometimes that don't always mean that we get to keep everything we have. Sometimes He takes us through things. But we have to trust the leader. This is a war. The war is real. I'm not talking about a war between America and another country. I'm talking about a war between right and wrong, between good and evil. And there are sides to be taken. And tonight, we need to determine who's on the Lord's side. And we need to ask, are we a good soldier? Am I? Ask yourself, am I a good soldier of Jesus Christ? And understand that as a good soldier, you may be wounded. You may even die. But it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face. All of our sorrows He will erase. So bravely run the race and fight the fight till we see Christ. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. And I thank You for the time that we've had to open Your Word. And I pray that You've used it just to encourage us, to help us to realize that there is a fight that's worth fighting. Lord, not along political lines, but Lord, just between right and wrong, good and evil. Lord, help us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If there be one here tonight that's never trusted Thee as Savior, I pray that this would be the night they trust Thee. They'd get enlisted in the army of God and help to get the work done. Thank You that You have something for us to do. But Lord, may we be everlastingly at it. And Lord, what it cost us, we realize may be dear. But Lord, when we see You, we realize, according to Your Word, that it will be worth it all. Help us to keep our eyes on You, fixed on the author and finish of our faith. We'll thank You for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.